Today, Jesus faces the moment of temptation. And I want to look at Adam and Eve a little bit today. I've been praying over these readings. I kept coming back to Adam and Eve. A very, very interesting reading. We think we know it, and yet there's so much to learn from it about how life really is and about how God works in our lives. Adam and Eve had a choice between good and evil. They had the tree of life, which would have been eternal life, and also the one thing God asked them not to do. So they had these two choices to make. When we look at this gospel, all of us, I think, have this sense that there's more to life than what we see, and also that things aren't quite the way they're meant to be. Things like the earthquake in Japan, and even I had a funeral yesterday. Lee Jenny, she's in her 90s. She used to be a member of the parish, traveled extensively all over the world, far more than I've ever done. And yet she said, "I feel as though there hasn't been enough time. You know, as if there were more." We always get that sense. And when we look at Genesis, we have to look at what Adam and Eve were given, because this is the way God originally had wanted life to be for us, and somehow we've gotten off track. The first thing is that originally God's will was that we should not have to work so hard for our living to put food on the table. The image is that literally food grew on trees. In other words, they had time to pursue other things than worrying about money and things like that. That's something that we lost. Most of us have to work very hard. This was not originally God's intention that we should have to spend so much time just keeping ourselves going. And then even more interesting is that Adam and Eve had a personal relationship with God. Now that's something we're all called to do, but Adam and Eve would walk with God in the cool of the evening, and they would speak to the Lord face to face. Just an incredible image that none of us have experienced. Yes, we talk with God, and He does talk back to us in a certain way, but not that directly. This is heaven. It is the goal of our lives, is to have that friendship with God and walk with Him one day in the garden of heaven. It's very compelling to me. But we've lost that. Now we have this world in which we don't know everything, and God hides Himself. And then Adam and Eve did not have the same experience of death originally that we do. Now, what does this mean? You look at biology, you think, well, that's nonsense. All biological creatures die. But I think what it means is that Adam and Eve, in knowing the Creator, in seeing Him, they would have realized that this life is a preparation for the one to come. God would have shared with them that this is a time of preparation. And when the time came to go from this life, they would have been completely unafraid, because they would have realized that it was simply a transition from one to the other. There would not have been death as we understand it, because they would have understood the world to come without any fear at all. But we lost that also. And now we have this separation from God. It's not so much that God expelled them from the garden as that they expelled God from their lives by their choice. So what we find is that one thing you may not have noticed, something that struck me for the first time this week, was that, you know, God gave them the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. And He said, don't touch the one on the right. And everything else you can have in the garden. They were free to eat the tree that led to eternal life. But they didn't choose to eat that one. Instead, they zeroed in on that one tree that God asked them not to eat. If they had eaten of the tree of life, they would never have committed this sin. And God, having set this up and talked with them and gotten to know His new creatures, stands back to watch the test. And this is very relevant, because we're all Adam and Eve in a sense. We all have this choice between good and evil, between the tree of life that leads to God and the tree of death, which is sin, especially mortal sin. So Adam and Eve come up to this tree, and they say, it looks like all the others. It's more beautiful than the others. It has a great fragrance, and the fruit looks delicious. And why shouldn't we take a bite? Why on earth would he tell us we couldn't? And then Satan enters the picture. See, God has permitted the evil one to come and test him. He also permitted it for his own son in the gospel. And he permits it periodically in our lives. We have these moments of great testing. What will we do when we come across something in which we have a choice? So Adam and Eve then, after they fall to temptation, God comes up and he says, so how are you doing? You know, this is after, this part was left out of the reading, but you've all heard it. And Adam and Eve are in the bushes hiding from him. And he comes up to Adam and he says, so I see that you've been eating of the tree I asked you not to. Why would you do that to me? And he said, well, actually, Lord, she made me do it. Have you ever used that excuse? God didn't buy it. And then he came up to Eve and he said, why would you do such a thing? And she said, well, you know, it looked good. And there was this snake in the grass and he talked me into it. And God didn't buy that either. She had to own up to her own sin. It wasn't the devil's fault that she chose that path. The church fathers, in talking about, there were a couple of monks once, and they said, suppose that you're sitting under a tree. Imagine you're in the Garden of Eden, and you're sitting there eating an apple, sitting under the tree, or a pear or something, and your brother comes up to you. And he says, so, here you are, that so-and-so, you're a lazy old guy, and blah, 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 and insult you, and you rise up and yell at him and punch him right in the nose. Now, later on, if someone asked you, your brother comes up and says, why did you do this? They say, well, I would never have sinned if my brother had not insulted me. He made me do it. That's not a good excuse, because the person that upsets us is an opportunity of grace. The person that's bugging us, we've all got things like this that come up. The person that riles us up or the situation that confronts us that's difficult, if we commit a sin, they've done us a favor because they've shown us a weakness within us. This is an opportunity of grace and a time of repentance. So God will periodically put us in really challenging situations, and our reaction to that shows how much spiritual growth we've had in our lives. There was a really interesting article in the newspaper last week, which I'm sure some of you will remember. There was this police officer who's been going up and down I-5 trying to catch speeders, people that go over 100 miles an hour, if you can believe this. We've all passed by a few of these people over the years, probably. Of course, that doesn't describe anybody here, does it? He said that usually he is in a marked police car, but he's been catching people by being in an unmarked black Mustang. And he said one of the people he pulled over was doing 116 miles an hour. It was a grandmother. And she had her grandson in the car. And she said, well, officer, I was just trying to teach my grandson how not to drive. He didn't buy that. There was another guy, I'm sure you might remember this, he said, this same officer was telling this story, that he had a video camera on the dashboard and he was filming something for YouTube, and he had actually filmed his odometer, so they seized that for evidence. You know, not a very smart guy. God didn't accept that excuse either. He didn't accept Adam and Eve's excuse. He won't accept ours. There's another comment that he made I found really enlightening, and I will probably remember it all my life, and you've all experienced this. He said, when I'm in a marked police car and I get on the freeway, I am suddenly, this is the police officer speaking, he said, I'm suddenly surrounded by a bubble of good driving. I love that. Don't you love that? Haven't you been in that? You're suddenly driving along. Let's say you're going 70 to Eugene, 5 miles over the speed limit. Suddenly everybody's going slow, and then you realize there's some police officer up there, you know, and the minute he pulls off, it's back to the Indianapolis 500, you know. So not everybody does that, but You know, the officer said, well, he has a standard spiel that he uses whenever he pulls somebody over so that they don't think there's favoritism, and, you know, and I mean, I wouldn't know since I've never been pulled over. You know, but the question is, do I live in a bubble of good driving? Am I a person who will do good when people are watching? But if I think I can get away with it, my behavior changes. The real test of obedience, and this is what we see in Genesis and why that gospel is so relevant, is because it's still happening, is that we have this choice between the tree that looks good but has rotten fruit and the one that doesn't look so hot but it actually has eternal life hanging from its branches. What do I do if I'm driving and I can get away with it? How do I act? Do I play one part with everyone else and have a different personality at home? If I'm at school, do I act differently if the teacher leaves the room? Do I, at work, if I know the supervisor is gone, do I not work as hard? If I am paying my taxes and I knew I could get away with fudging it a little bit, would I do that? Would I say to myself, many corporations pay no income tax, which I think is unjust in many cases. Or I got taxed too much, so I'm just getting back what is mine. If I'm given too much, a great deal more in change than I deserve, well, I say, well, that store charges me too much anyway. These are the tests you can think of your own, but this is the time when God, of course, who's always watching, has allow this for our growth. And how we deal with these kinds of tests tells us whether we have a relationship with Jesus or whether we're going to hide ourselves in the bushes because we are afraid and because we have sinned. It's very interesting. The first reading ends with Adam and Eve putting clothes on. This is very interesting. Why do Adam and Eve start to wear clothes in this gospel? This is not a story about the history of why human beings wear clothing. It is that suddenly Adam and Eve are ashamed. They have something to hide from God. And so they wear clothes and hide in the bushes because suddenly their relationship with God has changed. Sin puts a barrier between me and God. I can't have that same relationship because I've violated this other person's trust. You know, if somebody has violated our friendship, it's hard to get it back. And that goes with God, too. So we have to reconcile either by confession, if it's a serious sin, or by repentance. That's what Lent is all about. And so, but you see, it doesn't work with them because God can see right through them. He sees that they have sinned. And the consequences of that is they have to leave the garden. They have to leave paradise. Again, it's not so much that God threw them out. It's that they threw God out. And he wants to give us all these things back and more. But he waits. And now we're planted in the garden. You know, we're not living in paradise. We are all going to die. We don't see God face to face. We have to learn the hard way. He doesn't speak to us as clearly as he did to them. But at the same time, he puts before us the tree of life and the tree of death. And each day we make choices, and these choices and the temptations to choose the evil and not the good are part of our human condition. This is why we are put on earth, is to learn to make the right choices. So Lent is a time when we ask ourselves, am I making the right choice for God? Do I wish to have a personal relationship with him? What choices do I make in my life?